So really what I'm trying to do is encourage us, myself included, to be about the Father's business. That's it. That's all I'm trying to do. Encourage us to be about the Father's business. Now, here's what I can tell you from experience, all right? Not from textbook, from experience. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life apart from accepting his son into your life. It'll be the greatest decision of your life if you say yes to the call that God has placed on every one of us and step out of the boat and onto the water of sharing Christ with others. What it will do for your faith, what it will do for your joy, is off the charts. It's like no other. There are certain basic things that we all must do if we want to walk strong with the Lord. Spending time with him, and there's two ways you spend time with the Lord, in his word and in his presence, right? Those are things that we must do to stay strong in the Lord. But there's something else that you can do that will actually ignite you even more on fire than those two things, even though you have to have those things if you're going to stay the course. Those things are our anchor, the anchor to our soul. But that is sharing Christ with others. When we are doing that, we are literally about the Father's business. And when we get involved in his business, this is a promise from him, he will get involved in yours. God says it this way. Jesus says it this way. You see all these people out there, they're going about their life. I'm paraphrasing this as Matthew chapter 6. They go about their life busily working so that they can buy that car, get the clothes, feed their children, right? House, get themselves some shelter. Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't be mindful of those things. Do you not know your Father knows you need all these things? He knows it. You don't even need to tell him. But seek first the kingdom of God. That's the direction from our Lord. Seek first. For most of us, it's way back on the list. He says, no, first. Before your job, before all the other things you're going after, seek first the kingdom of God. That means the advancement of the kingdom. Getting to know the kingdom, getting about the kingdom's business, learning what's going on in the kingdom, having a mindset set on the things of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not your life, not your kingdom. His kingdom. And what does he say will be the result of that? All these things, and he already mentioned what the things were. You know, your provision in life. He said, they will just be added to you. How many of you know he's saying, you don't even need to do it. The Father will do it for you. If we will be about his business, he will be about ours. Now, most of you probably know I am one who believes completely in the goodness of God, and not a religious goodness, but I mean the goodness of God, that he is nothing but good. I have placards in my house. I have one in the kitchen, I have one in my bedroom, I have one in my office, and it simply says this: nothing but goodness. And then a real tiny print underneath it says, that's all he has for us. But the big words are nothing but goodness. I spoke to someone who's an artist. I talked to him about, I want him to paint that across my living room wall. Just huge. I mean, letters like this big. I just want it all across my living room wall. It's something the Holy Ghost gave me in prayer, I think about 2 years ago. He's given me many, many, many things in prayer, and I write them down, and they're precious, and they speak to my heart, and they're awesome. But oftentimes, unfortunately, probably just because, you know, I'm an earthen vessel, and I've got holes, you know, it just kind of leaks out. You know, after a while, it's just it's not as powerful as that day that he gave it to me. Unfortunately. You know, it's just my frailty. This one never did that. It got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I am so grateful, so thankful for it. It has just totally hung in there with me. Nothing but goodness. That's all he has for us. So if we will be about his business, we will experience the goodness of God. Now, in that goodness, you know, I also because I believe that about God, about every aspect of life, I preach what the Bible teaches, and that is that God will bless us even financially in life, right? I believe that it is God's desire that every one of us would succeed in every area of life, including this. And it was taught against for many years. But over the last several years, this has been becoming more of a prevalent teaching in the body of Christ, as you know, as it should be. Now, I realize that some of the teaching goes awry. It's not what I would teach. So just because someone's teaching what many people have coined the prosperity message, don't just associate when I say that God wants to bless us financially, don't necessarily associate me with all those teachings that you hear. You need to hear my teaching first and what I say the Bible says before you understand what I'm saying it means. And I'm going to talk to you about something right now that will kind of give you a better understanding where I'm coming from with that. The problem with that, what can be an inherent problem with that teaching is that we adhere too much to society's view of success, not God's view of success. Now, God's view of success includes abundance such that, as the Bible describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, especially starting in verses 6 through 9, it says that God will supply all of your needs. He will make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. Does it say that you may have abundance to spend upon yourself? It says so that you'll have an abundance for every good work. God expects us, as he blesses us, that we are blessing others. We become a conduit of his benevolence. Not a stagnant pool of receiving and hoarding up. That's not the kingdom of God. He expects us to be a conduit of his goodness, right?
Yes, Lord.
So it is the proper message when it's taught properly. It seems that we oftentimes, our view, like when I said, it's society's view, and society's view is for temporal things. God's view is for eternal. He wants to make an eternal effect on people's lives, including with your finances. We should be making an eternal effect on people's lives. As you give to the work of God, as you bless other people individually, we make an eternal effect on their life as they see the benevolence of God coming through you. So this whole thing that I'm talking about right now about sharing Christ is another way of giving for the eternal rewards. It's giving to sow into your eternal life, your eternal, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, your eternal treasure. That's good. It's like Jesus says, don't lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. That's good. Thank you for that. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. I'm talking about how to sow into your eternal treasure. Now, that really isn't the motivation. I'm just saying Jesus talks about it as a reward. So I don't need to back off from talking about the fact that it's a blessed reward that comes from the Lord. We want to do it because this blesses the Lord's heart. We want to do it because we've received and we should freely give. We freely received and we should freely give. We should do it because we have a heart of love, because God has put his love in our heart, and people are dying and literally going to hell. And we have the message that will keep them and snatch them from that. God gave us the commission of sharing his salvation message with others who don't know about it. And he did not leave us alone. He put his spirit in us. And if you've been wise enough to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he put his spirit on us to empower us to go out and share this message. You're not alone when you go out to share the message. So on that note, I want you to listen or watch a video, and then I'm going to come back up and talk about this. Are you guys like me? Like when I was in school and the teacher was going to play a film, I loved it. I got excited, man. Yeah. How many were? All right. I loved it. So here we got a film, and then I'll come back. Yes. Yeah, that'd be good. We turn off the lights. Can someone grab the light? Verses 17 through 21 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so who's this talking to? Who is this verse of scripture is written to? If anyone is in Christ, is it talking about the fivefold ministry? Who's it referring to? Exactly. Anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ into their life. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now all things have become new. Now all things, talking about you, everything about you, all things are of God. We've been bought with a price. We belong to him. We are his. And if we will surrender ourselves to that idea, which means to God, realizing that's who we are his, bought with a price, therein, listen, is the key to life. I mean real life. I mean a life that's beyond the struggle that most know as life. I'm talking about a life that is so rich, so incredible. Jesus said it this way, he who tries to save his life will lose it. He who lays down his life or will lose his life for my sake will find it. He says, that's where you'll find it. When we lay down our life for Jesus Christ, that's where we find our life. Now, all things in your life and mine are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry we've all been given. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You have that ministry on you. This is all I'm really trying to do, is to wake us up to the work that God has called us to do and to encourage every one of you and me to be about it. Let's get on with it. Let's start doing it. And I'm telling you, you're going to find life like you've never found life before. You would swear you're giving up your life if you're going to do this. If you're going to start doing this, you're like basically, you're almost like you know, this is not what I want to do. This is not what I'm about. I mean, can I just be about, you know, being an architect or being a plumber or being an electrician or just being a good husband? You know, can I just be about that? That's really what I want to do. And, I'm going to do it well and all that. This is not really what I want to do. I don't want to be out there telling people about Jesus. I don't want to be preaching the gospel. What I'm telling you is what the Word of God teaches, that if we'll do that, you'll find a life that will make this life look like a prison cell. There's such freedom. There's such joy. There's such exuberation. Think about this. How many of you have interacted with someone who's involved permanently in like a mission type lifestyle? Like they're with Campus Crusade or any number of those other things. Is there something you notice different about their life than yours? What is it?
Joy,
isn't it? Every single time. I just thought about that. That's a perfect example. See, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to explain something that's very difficult to do with words. I'm trying to convince you something. Trying to convince you of something that's hard to do with words. You have to experience it. It's like me trying to describe the feelings of jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, which I've done a few times. I could explain it to you. You know, I could really try, but there's just no way. You have to do it to experience it. And in the same way, laying down our life to do what God has called us to do, you'll step into a life of joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Then, if we stay on that track and we continue, that life will just continue to soar and soar and soar, ultimately to end up in this place where we stand before Jesus Christ Because all of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 describes this as well as other places. We will stand before him. There are two judgments that will take place at the end of times. One is the white throne judgment. The other one's called the judgment seat of Christ. Those who've accepted Jesus Christ will never go before the white throne judgment. We'll never go there. But those who've accepted Christ will go before the judgment seat of Christ. The Father judges this one. Jesus judges this one. This one is for those who've never received Christ. So in essence, they've rejected Christ. And they will be judged to spend all of eternity separated from God and his presence. Those who come before the judgment seat of Christ, we will stand before him to give an account for our life here on the earth and what did we do with it. And in that day, in fact, I want you to see it. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take a look at this. I'm going to just keep reading, even though some of you may not be there, just for the sake of time. It says, Paul's talking, and starting, let's say, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. Now, I'm going to back up to verse 9. Now, let's go back to verse 5. It's kind of hard to figure out where to start this, because it's all the same message. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? There was this argument going on within the church, you know, because Paul led this person to Christ and Apollos led this person to Christ. And they're saying, I'm of Paul. And the other ones are saying, I'm of Apollos. And Paul is basically kindly rebuking them, trying to get them to think correctly about things. And he says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers. That's all they are. They're ministers. That's what you are. You're ministers. God gave you a ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? You're a minister. He says, we're ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's God who created the salvation that took place on the inside of you. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one, look at this, will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So he mentions the reward there. There is a reward. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest for the day is referring to the judgment day of standing before Jesus. That's why it's capitalized day. The day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive, now again, notice he points out a reward. He will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Really important that you understand that. For those of you who would have any fear about, if I might lose my salvation, I'm going to go before the judgment seat of Christ and I've done nothing, and you know, I'm going to be judged and sentenced to hell. No, my brother and sister, that will never happen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your salvation is complete. Because that was not your work. That was his work. And his work will stand. You are his workmanship, created for good works. You understand? We need to go out and do good works. But we are his work. And it will stand. So your salvation and my salvation is intact. But now we're going to be judged for our workmanship. And I think of it this way, and I've mentioned this here, I think some of you have heard this. I picture myself standing before the judgment seat of Christ, And I gave a lot to the poor, and I gave to this person, and I helped these people pay their rent and their mortgage, and I led this person to Christ, and I did, you know, I played in the worship band, and I ran the sound, and I did the projector, and, you know, I worked in the children's church, and I did all these good works. That's wonderful. The question we need to ask ourselves every time we're doing any of those is this very simple one-word question. Why? Why am I doing it? And if your heart position is right, you and I will receive a reward for that work. If we did it to glorify God, we will receive a reward. If we did it to receive glory of man, there'll be no reward for that. Amen. You will receive your reward when you get the pat on the back from another person. That is your reward. So we will stand before God, and I will stand there before Jesus, and I'll have all these trophies of all these things that I did just piled up here. I got them all piled up there, and I'm standing there feeling really good. You know, yes, I've done all these wonderful things, you know. I preached the gospel 10,000 times. I've, you know, given to the poor. I've done all these things. And there's Jesus, and he releases this fireball from his throne, and it's this massive ball of fire. And just comes rolling down, just blows right past me. And then I just stand there, smoke curling off my head. And I look over, and there's this pile of ashes, and a pile of ashes, and a couple little trophies left over here, and that's about it. That would mean I did all that work in vain. I did it all for the glory of man and for the praise of man. But I'm still here, praise God. I may be here with smoldering, but I'm here, you know, and that's great. But that's not what I want to happen. I want all the work that I've done for him, when that fire goes by, it's still there. It still remains because I did it for him. And he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful son. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And I will have great rewards. Now, I don't even understand exactly how anything but being in heaven, you know, how anything more is necessary. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in heaven. I mean, what more do I need? But I know this. God says it's a reward, which means when I get there, I'll be glad I had it. Very glad. Because when God says it's a reward, how many of you know he knows how to reward people? He knows how to bless you. So it, I promise you, my brothers and sisters, it'll be something you want. You will not want to be left with nothing. What I'm talking about us doing is the greatest work on planet Earth that we can do for the Lord. It's what we've been called to do more than anything else, is to go and share Christ with others. Those are the rewards that will be the greatest rewards. I talked to you about being wealthy. I think it was last week I mentioned it. That I truly live with this sense of wealth every day. It's one of the greatest sources of joy. My best friend, who knows me very well and has literally watched me lead probably 100 or 200 people to the Lord. I'm like, he was there because he was my roommate for years. We've been friends for 30 years. So he's been around me a lot. And so, you know, I'm in restaurants and grocery stores with him and stuff, and he just sees me lead people to the Lord. And he says to me all the time, he's always talking about this, "Brad, man, I can't wait to see your crown. Seriously, man, you're wealthy, man. You're wealthy." I mean, he just keeps saying that to me. You know, and I love, it's not so important what he's saying to me. I love his perspective. He gets it. Every one of us can be wealthy when we enter heaven. And that's what I'm trying to do as your shepherd, as your overseer. I'm trying to encourage you to build a life of eternal reward, that we would set our minds on things above. It says this in Colossians chapter 3. Seek those things which are above. It says, since you are risen with Christ, right? He's talking about Christian. Since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then he says this, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. for you died. And your life that you have now is hidden with Christ in God. Paul says the same thing in Galatians chapter 2. The life that I now live, he says, I was crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. The life that I now live, he says, I live in God. It's God's life, and he gave himself for it. How many of you know when Paul went to heaven, he went there a wealthy man, very wealthy, and he is in heaven enjoying those rewards for the rest of his life. If we'll do this, if you'll accept this call that Jesus has given to us and say yes, and you will push back against the fear of doing it and say, yeah, I don't care. It's worth it. What he did for me is worth it. Am I really going to cower to the words that the attacking of the world that's lost? You know what I mean? The threats they may have. So what? I witness to someone and they reject what I say to them. Whose loss is that? I mean, we should have pity on them. We shouldn't be afraid of it. We're the ones that truly have the message. We carry the message of the gospel. We carry the message of life. We have the message of life in us. I remember I was living in this complex, and right below my balcony was a hot tub. It was in the courtyard, and there was a hot tub there. Man, I love that hot tub. And I would go out there at night. It was in San Diego, California, perfect weather all the time, you know. 75 in the evening, just perfect. Maybe we could drop it down a little bit more. It'd be maybe 65 to 70 in the evening. I remember it was kind of cool, and that hot tub was just there, just percolating all the time. I'd see it, you know. So I'd go down there, and I'd get in the hot tub and just let it beat on my back. I'd just be loving it, enjoying life. Well, I'm in there one day, and this girl comes in, and she sat on the other side of the hot tub, you know. And so just like, hey, how are you, you know. So where do you live? You're on the other side? Yeah, I'm over on this side, you know. Oh, I live right up there, you know. We're just talking a little bit. And then, you know, as is normal, after a few minutes of getting to know her a little bit, I said, hey, I want to ask you a question. Are you raised in a, you know, like in a church setting or anything? Do you have any religious background? Oh, no, blah, blah, blah. And she said, you know, she told me, well, I can't remember exactly what she said. And I just took that and just started sharing Christ with her. When I got done, now this is one of those ones that came back real hard. So don't be afraid. I just want to tell you, out of all the people I've led to the Lord, I'm telling you, I could probably count on two hands how many people got mad. I mean, it's like 1 in 100 get mad. So today it might be a little bit more because the world's getting more and more amped up, you know, against God and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, she got mad at me and she goes, what right do you have? What right do you think it is that you have to sit here and tell me about Jesus Christ and that, tell me I need Jesus? And I took a hit. I mean, it's just like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. She was real friendly a few seconds ago, you know. I thought we were good to go, and I could just share a few things with her. And she got, like, mad at me. Well, earlier in our conversation, what she told me she did for a living was she was a scientist and that they studied diseases. And the Holy Ghost just gave me something. And I said, hey, let me ask you a question. If I had the cure for cancer, and I literally have, like, pills in my house right now that anyone takes it, it'll instantly cure them of cancer. And you had cancer. You told me right here sitting here, you have cancer. Would you consider it offensive to you that I would share with you that I have a pill that will cure your cancer? Would you consider that offensive? Now, as a scientist who studies diseases and hunts for cures, it struck her to the core. I said, or do you think it would be better out of love that I would leave this hot tub and never say a word to you about it, just let you die with your cancer? Which is better? And she said, point well taken. And I said, you have a cancer. It's called sin. And that sin separates you from God and it will send you to hell. But God has a cure. It's his love. And he sent his son to demonstrate his love and shed his blood for your sin. So then I just finished the gospel message with her. She didn't pray with me. She didn't pray right then except Christ. But I assure you, she has never been the same. The Holy Ghost was all over that. And she probably accepted the Lord later on, or someone else came and talked to her later. But anyhow, it's the mindset we must have. We have the cure for a cancer called sin. And we need to share that with people. So I'm going to be about doing that. I'm going to be about instructing you, giving you the tools and everything you need to do it. And there may be a little fear initially. I think after you go through these classes, you're going to find you have a fraction of the fear that you had starting out. And then as you step out and you begin to talk to people about the Lord in very natural settings, it will get easier and easier and easier. And pretty soon you will be on fire doing it. It will be a natural part of your life. Then when you enter heaven, if you accept this call on your life and you say, I'm going to be about my Father's business. When you step out and you start doing this, 3 years from now, 8 years from now, 12 years from now, whenever it is that you enter into those gates, those pearly gates, and you stand before the Lord, you are going to say, thank God I did that. Thank God I got about my Father's business, didn't spend the rest of my life doing my own thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If any of you would like to have prayer about anything, because I'm now done with this message, I just want to invite you to come up. Doesn't have to be related to the message that I just gave, but if it's about this message and you just want God to start doing a work in your heart and preparing your heart for it, I want to encourage you to come on up. We're just going to pray over you. We're just going to have a few minutes of ministry time up here and just minister to people and just love on you. And the worship team, they're just going to go ahead and play a beautiful song. Let us enter into worship. And I just encourage you to stay around a few minutes and worship with us, and then you're also free to go. Service is over. So, oh yeah, thank you very much, man. I just have a really hard time with that. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's take up the tithes and offerings. You know, the Word of God tells us very clearly: bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there will be food in God's house, so that we can do the things we're doing right now and share the gospel with people. Amen. So go ahead and we'll do that. Father, thank you for the gifts of your people. Your word says you will bless those who give into the kingdom of God. We pray your blessing on those gifts right now that are being sown into your kingdom, Father God. Your word says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. God will cause men, the circumstance of this life, to come into your life, will bless your life financially as you give into the kingdom of God. It's a promise from Almighty God. It does happen. It will happen in your life as you give into the kingdom. Thank you for it, Lord God.